When I finished my run, I pulled off my visor and began removing my haptic suit. This had to be done slowly to prevent damaging the suit's components. As I carefully peeled it off, the contact patches made tiny popping sounds as they pulled free of my skin, leaving tiny, circular marks all over my body. Once I had the suit off, I placed it inside the cleaning unit and laid my clean, spare suit out on the floor. Max had already turned on the shower for me, setting the water temperature right where I liked it. As I jumped into the steam-filled stall, Max switched the music over to my Shower Tunes playlist. I recognized the opening riffs of Change by John Waite from the Vision Quest soundtrack, Geffen Records, 1985. The shower worked a lot like an old car wash. I just stood there while it did most of the work, blasting me from all angles with jets of soapy water, then rinsing me off. I had no hair to wash because the shower also dispensed a non-toxic hair-removing solution that I rubbed all over my face and body. This eliminated the need for me to shave or cut my hair, both hassles I didn't need. Having smooth skin also helped make sure my haptic suit fit snugly. I looked a little freaky without any eyebrows, but I got used to it. When the rinse jets cut off, the blow dryers kicked on, blasting the moisture off of my skin in a matter of seconds. I stepped into the kitchen and took out a can of sludge, a high-protein, vitamin D-infused breakfast drink, to help counteract my sunlight deprivation. As I gulped it down, my computer's sensors silently took note, scanning the barcode and adding the calories to my total for the day. With breakfast out of the way, I pulled on my clean haptic suit. This was less tricky than taking the suit off, but it still took time to do properly. Once I had the suit on, I ordered the haptic chair to extend. Then I paused and spent a moment staring at my immersion rig. I'd been so proud of all this high-tech hardware when I'd first purchased it. But over the past few months, I'd come to see my rig for what it was, an elaborate contraption for deceiving my senses, to allow me to live in a world that didn't exist. Each component of my rig was a bar in the cell where I had willingly imprisoned myself. Standing there, under the bleak fluorescence of my tiny one-room apartment, there was no escaping the truth. In real life, I was nothing but an antisocial hermit, a recluse, a pale-skinned, pop culture-obsessed geek, an agoraphobic shut-in with no real friends, family, or genuine human contact. I was just another sad, lost, lonely soul, wasting his life on a glorified video game. But not in the Oasis. In there, I was the great Parzival, world-famous Gunter and international celebrity. People asked for my autograph. I had a fan club, several, actually. I was recognized everywhere I went, but only when I wanted to be. I was paid to endorse products. People admired and looked up to me. I got invited to the most exclusive parties. I went to all the hippest clubs and never had to wait in line. I was a pop culture icon, a VR rock star. And in Gunter circles, I was a legend. Nay, a god. I sat down and pulled on my gloves and visor. Once my identity was verified, the Gregarious Simulation Systems logo appeared in front of me, followed by the login prompt. "Greetings, Parzival. Please speak your passphrase." I cleared my throat and recited my passphrase. Each word appeared on my display as I said it. "No one in the world ever gets what they want, and that is beautiful." There was a brief pause, and then I let out an involuntary sigh of relief as the oasis faded into existence all around me.